The reading from God's word this morning is from Psalm 46. And I'm reading from the NIV. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.
Thanks, Rosemary. Happy New Year, if I haven't said that already. Great to see you here today. First Sunday for 2018. It's going to be a great year. And welcome back to the Ramseys, your first Sunday back with us from a little sabbatical in Japan. And great to have your family with us too. So we're actually now one full week into the new year, which is probably about the right time just to ask how those New Year's resolutions are going. That good, eh? It takes about a week, doesn't it, to slip and to fall sometimes. But hopefully those things that you committed to for this year, your new goals for 2018, that you either committed to inwardly in your own conscience, or you got really brave and you posted them on Facebook to create some accountability with the world, hopefully they will actually make a difference to your life in a positive way for the year ahead. But this morning I want to add one extra resolution, if you haven't made this resolution already. A resolution that I believe will impact your coming year more than any other goal or resolution that you've made for the year ahead. A resolution that will change your life even more than finally getting fit this year. Even more than losing those few extra kilos that you've decided, okay, this is the year. Even more than starting that new course that you're setting out to do. Now, I'm not going to suggest that you put aside those resolutions or those goals or those commitments that you've made for the coming year. Seek after those things and go for it. But as followers of Jesus, there's a much deeper and a more significant resolve that we can undertake as we approach the coming year. And you're probably asking, what could be more important than finally landing that 1 meter flathead or mulloway? Well, what if in the coming year we were able to hear from God more, with more clarity and with more consistency? And what if, as we were listening to God's voice more in our lives, this meant we also began to know him more in a more real and intimate way? What if those things came about in 2018? Would that not transform our lives in ways that we cannot even imagine? And yet my suspicion is that very few of us, if any, have actually resolved to seek after and to be open to hearing God and knowing God more in 2018. So I'm going to do you a huge favour this morning, and we're going to do that together this morning. We're going to resolve to hear from God and to listen to God more and to know him more in 2018. You want to do that with me this morning? Yes? Good, got a few of you. Hopefully a few more jump in as we go along. Let's start though by praying that God would begin this work in us today, or continue this work in us today, as we explore this great psalm and particularly this verse 10 together. Let's pray. God, we just want to confess this morning that it's very easy to set out on a new year and to actually not come and consult you about what you might plan to do both in and through us in the year ahead. So we want to pause and just take some time to do that this morning. I want to ask you would begin revealing to each person here just the depth of what hearing from you and knowing you more might do in and through us, how you might want to change us and transform our lives in 2018. That deep within us, you might come and do a new thing this year as we look to you for guidance and for your leading and for direction this year. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at Psalm 46 this morning, and in particular, we're going to take a fresh look at this really well-known verse from verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." And what we find is that Psalm 46, it really picks up from where Todd took those that were here last week in Psalm 8, just celebrating the majesty and the glory of our great God and what we see in the heavens and in the earth and in the stars and in the seas. And the writer or the writers of this psalm, the sons of Korah, also refer to the majesty of God who rules not just over the mountains and the seas, but also rules over the wars between nations and the rising and the falling of kingdoms. And we read in verse 6, that nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, but when God lifts his voice, the earth melts. As God lifts his voice, the earth obeys and history is changed, all at the command of his word. And this is the same voice that spoke the universe into existence with just four words: "Let there be light." And there was light and there was life. This is the enormous power of God's voice upon the earth and upon all things. It's the voice that parted the Red Sea. It's the voice that caused the sun to stand still. It's the voice that can heal a withered hand or wither a barren fig tree. It's the voice that can turn water into wine, that can heal eyesight, can even resurrect a man who's been dead for 4 days. As we read through Scripture, there's almost nothing that God's voice cannot say or cannot do that is in line with his character and his will and his sovereignty. And incredibly, this is the same voice that speaks to us as we learn to hear and to listen to what he says. You see, I think the first challenge in this well-known verse is contained in these two words that we skip over. These two words that get left off the bookmark at Koorong or off the meme on the internet. Because usually it just jumps to "be still and know that I am God." But it's he who says this. And the question is, do we really believe that God still speaks, that he still says? Because if we do, then our greatest challenge in the year ahead is to tune into that voice, is it not? To actually hear what God says to us, to really listen and then to follow that voice. But the danger is this year, as it is every year, is that we miss God's voice because we expect it to come like thunder and roll through the suburbs like it does often here at Westleigh and Thornleigh and Pennant Hills, and shaking our houses and shaking our foundations. And that's the voice we listen out for. And yet we see in Scripture that God is often very quiet and very gentle in the way that he speaks with us. And this is what I want to explore this morning. And to do that, I quickly want to jump across to 1 Kings chapter 19, where the Lord appears to Elijah on Mount Sinai. And here we read from verse 11, beginning with the New Living Translation, but we're going to jump to some other translations as well. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came what? After the fire came a gentle whisper, a gentle breath of God. The World English Bible interprets this gentle whisper as a still, small voice. The Contemporary English Version describes it like a gentle breeze. The New International and New Revised Standard Versions interpret this as a silence. It was so quiet. And yet, as we read on, it was a silence that Elijah was still able to hear. You see, there's no doubt that God has an outside voice and he's not afraid to use it. And it can be so loud sometimes, it can be like thunder. But when God wants to be heard, when he has something really important to say, he often speaks in just a little whisper, just above the threshold of our hearing. I was remembering back when our girls were much younger than they are now, I would play that trick like a lot of parents and grandparents like to play, and uncles and aunties, where I'd call the girls over and I'd say, "Come here, I want to whisper a secret to you." And as they would come over, I would make up whatever it was I was going to whisper to them. And as I'd whisper in their ear, you know what I'd do, don't you? Reach out and grab them and give them a big cuddle and tickle them and hold them close. And after a while, that trick kind of wore off, didn't it? They would say, "Dad, just whisper it out aloud," which kind of doesn't work, does it, to whisper out aloud. But when someone speaks in a whisper, you have to get very close to hear them, don't you? You have to put your ear right up next to their mouth. You have to lean in to hear a whisper. You have to draw close. And I expect that is exactly why God chooses to speak so softly and gently to you and I. He wants us to come close, doesn't he? You know, me being here today is actually the result of a whisper that I heard from God. A still, small voice, a breath on the back of my neck. The day that I was called to be on the committee to look for the new associate pastor for families, we had the church meeting here in August 3 years ago. And I stood over here and you ratified me onto the search committee. And then I went and sat down somewhere over this side, about where Joe is, I think, this morning. And afterwards, after the committee had been ratified, Andrew jumped up and said, "Listen, I'll just talk you through the role for the person that we're looking for, so you can be praying and asking God who is going to be called to this role." And as he read through that role, as I sat there, I just heard this whisper. God was saying, "Why don't you apply for that role?" And at first I was like, "What was that?" And I tried to ignore that whisper. And God kept breathing this still small voice saying, "You should apply for that role." To the point where I couldn't ignore it anymore and I had to get sacked from the committee and go through the process. And here we are 2 years later, and I get to serve just a magnificent church of people who are passionate about Jesus, and all the result of just a gentle, quiet whisper from the Lord. Oswald Chambers, he says, the voice of the Spirit is as gentle as a zephyr. You have no idea what a zephyr is, do you? Or even how to pronounce it. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong anyway. It's just like a gentle wind. It's like a puff of air. This is how the voice of the Spirit comes to us. He goes on to say, the voice of the Spirit comes in the most extraordinary, gentle ways. And if you're not sensitive enough to detect His voice, you can actually miss it or quench it. And he says, when we do that, our spiritual life can actually be impaired. I kind of cringe when I think about the number of times that I reckon I've done that, where I've just ignored or I've missed His voice speaking to me. But it's true, isn't it, that the Almighty could intimidate us, and with an outside voice, He could thunder down His message to us. But instead, He chooses to woo us with just a whisper, with His still small voice, which is the very breath of life. See, the story of God visiting and with Elijah, it's a reminder, isn't it, that we often look and we listen out for the big and the spectacular ways that God might try and get our attention or to speak into our lives. And yet here's a reminder that God often speaks and is present in just a still small voice that we can so easily ignore. So as we seek to be open to what He has to say to us this year, I suspect the issue is not God failing to speak. We often put the blame on God, don't we, and say, well, He hasn't said anything to me lately. I think the issue is actually our ability to listen and to hear to what He is saying, to hear His whispers through the Scriptures as you personally open up the Scriptures and to hear from Him. This gentle breath that where He creates desires and dreams that He puts upon your heart that He wants you to pursue. His still small voice that points to opportunities and alerts us to promptings from His Spirit. His words to us through people, through one another here as part of the body, where He brings encouragement and spurring on and words of affirmation through other people, through our lives together, and even through pain. How God speaks to us through those tough times that we go through. So here's a few of the ways that God might be wanting to speak to you in 2018. And I want to just pause here and ask this question this morning. What might God be wanting to whisper or to breathe into your life in this year ahead? What might He be wanting to gently speak into your relationship with Him? How is He actually trying to woo you this year and to draw you close? And I can't actually answer that for you, and it's likely that you can't answer that right now either. But we can actually commit, can't we, to position ourselves to hear and to listen to whatever it is that God might want to be saying to us in this year ahead. And I believe the psalmist gives us some guidance on how to do that. As the sons of Korah plead to us, be still. Just be still long enough to hear and to listen from me, says God. Now, I need to point out that the commentators don't think that be still is a very good translation of what the psalmists were trying to express here. Because this phrase, be still, has been interpreted over and over again to mean some sort of contemplative, meditative stance where we're trying to just achieve complete stillness and silence. This stance of intense prayer and solitude. And maybe that can actually help. Maybe you do need to do that. But the term here actually is better rendered to stop. To just stop. In their time, to stop foreign alliances from taking their focus off God. To stop trying to fight their battles on their own. To stop depending on themselves and to start depending on God. To stop trying to do everything and be everything and fix everything. And maybe this is what it means to actually be still. To pause long enough that we might see God's majesty and remember afresh that God rules the world. To stop and actually hear that still small voice of God in our lives and to know that He is God. It sounds easy, doesn't it? When we put it like that, it sounds really easy. Okay, this year, I'm just going to stop and be still. But I know in my life, He says, be still and know that I'm God, quickly becomes, I say, be hurried and pretend that I am God. Does anyone else try that? I'm going to take the reins here, God, because I know what needs to happen in 2018. So I say, get busy, be hurried, and pretend that I'm God. And I want to share with you just two challenges that I'm working through in trying to be still or to stop in this year ahead. Because I think there's much more here than just sticking to a regular quiet time with God. Although if you've got that going, then please don't stop that, because that's a good thing. But the first challenge here for me is an external one, or kind of an external one. And it's to stop being so hurried that I can never truly be present with God. The late Dallas Willard had words of wisdom for those looking to serve God and to grow in Christ. He said, "You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." But he explains that this is not just an outward condition of having too many things to do or a to-do list that's too long. He actually said that hurry is actually a condition of our inward spirit. That we carry around inwardly this burden of preoccupation that somehow the world depends on my productivity. Does anyone else fall into that trap? And he says the result is that we leave no space at all just to be present with God and to be present with the important people in our lives. No space just to be available to God from one moment to the next. No space to hear from God and to listen to his whispers to us. And Willard says that this constant sense of hurry actually demonstrates a kind of martyrdom and a self-pity and even below that, an ego that can begin crushing us from within. And he says we're not meant to live like that. And he says living like that won't allow us to enjoy life like we're supposed to. So we need to ruthlessly eliminate this kind of hurry from our lives. To be still and to stop being so hurried. Let me just add though there that this is not kind of saying that being unhurried becomes this complete passiveness where we never get anything done. Because listening to God, doing something about what we read in Scripture, will actually get us quite active, won't it? When we act on the ways that He's speaking to us, we'll have things to do. But it involves probably a reorientation, doesn't it, of our inward spirit from my will to His will. A re-priority in our life, maybe. Was your 2017 too hurried? I know mine was. Last year was just too hurried. I didn't have enough time to be present with God, and I often didn't have enough time to be present with people. And Dallas Willard actually says that's actually a good test. If we haven't even got time to be present with people who want to come close to us and connect with us, then it's very likely that we also have no time for God either. So the psalmist challenges us to stop trying to do this all in our own strength and to make space and time for God in 2018? So that's my first challenge. Stop being so hurried. Just stopping and stilling that urgency that somehow the world spinning, you know, depends on me. But the second challenge for me is actually a greater one. And this is the challenge of stilling and stopping all of the other voices that come on into my head, just tending to block out God's voice, blocking out anything and everything that God wants to say to me, just because there's this noise of all these other voices. And most of the time, what that does is it means God just can't get a word in edgewise. He's trying. Mark Batterson, in his book Whisper, which I've drawn a little bit of inspiration for today's message from, he suggests what some of those voices are. He says that can be the voice of negative talk, self-talk. It can be the voice of criticism, self-criticism, not even criticism from others. Just that voice that we've heard over and over for so long that we can't believe or hear anything else about ourselves, particularly what God says about us and to us. The voice of conformity, or the voice of culture, the voice of condemnation that comes from the accuser, the father of lies. There's all these voices which becomes noise in our minds. Noise that can rattle around in our heads and not leave any room left for God's voice just to cut through. And the problem is, we often constantly listen to those voices, and as we do that, we deafen ourselves to the voice of God. I like what Henry Nouwen, how he sums up this problem when he says, that silence, being still and stopping, is actually an act of war against the competing voices within us, of being still. And that it's hard to clear that noise and all that goes on between our ears, isn't it? And when we do, when we finally do, what can we hear this time of year? Cicadas. So let me ask you another question. As well as the hurry and self-dependency, what are the voices that you just need to stop and silence that this year you may be able to better just discern the voice of God afresh? And some of us may need help with that. And there's no shame in that, in talking that through with a good counsellor or more professional help. It's helped me in just clearing some of those voices and just being able to hear God afresh. But just a conscious decision about what we'll fill our minds with. And just a tip, this is unhelpful. This is much more helpful. If we're trying to hear God's voice, even if we've got an app on that, it's the Bible. This is a much better way for us to clear that noise and those voices and just to hear from God afresh in 2018. As I finish, I suspect as we learn to do this better, we'll actually take hold of the promise in today's passage or verse 10. That actually we will get to that point where we know afresh that He is God. And I don't want to prescribe what your experience of knowing God more or better is going to be like in 2018. If I could do that, I would write the book and together we would sell lots of copies. I can't do that. This is your relationship and your journey with God. But as we look to the scriptures and as we look to the biblical accounts and as we particularly look to Jesus, we can discern with a fair degree of assurance what God's voice is to us when we're hearing Him clearly. And that's because His voice is just a reflection of His character and of His heart and of His love. So His voice is joy. This is what He wants to speak into your life this year. Who amongst us does not want to experience and know joy this year? His voice is wisdom. Who does not need more wisdom in living life this year? His voice is one of healing. His voice is peace. His voice is power. His voice is grace. Grace that has the power to transform us and to transform every conversation and every relationship that we undertake this year. His voice is truth. His voice is freedom. His voice is love. And Henry Nouwen, he encourages us that every time we listen with great attentiveness to the voice that calls you the beloved, that you'll actually discover within yourself a desire to hear that voice longer and more deeply. And this is what we long for, isn't it? Stick with your resolutions for 2018. Get fit. Start that course. Do that study. Heal that relationship, whatever it is. But this year, my prayer for 2018 is that we'll learn to hear and to listen with God with more clarity and more consistency, and that as we do that, we'll know God more and more and sense Him closer than ever before. And this is my prayer for you, for our church, for 2018. That as we come on this journey together in the year ahead, that He might not just be exalted among the nations and in the earth, that He might be exalted in my life and in your life as we truly know the Lord Almighty that is with us. See, what we actually long for this year and every year is actually that communion and that closeness with God. That this year we might have this well that we can go to and that we can draw from and that we can drink from and that we can be replenished in Him. So we're going to move into a time of communion now, a time of sharing communion together, where we're actually going to celebrate a moment where God wasn't quiet, where actually God spoke very loudly to all of humanity, a moment where He almost shouted to all people this message of love, that through His one and only Son, Jesus, that we might come to know Him as Lord of our lives. So as you come and you take the bread this morning, we want to remember His body broken for you. And as we come and we drink the juice, we want to remember His blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. And as we celebrate and as we launch into this year ahead, we're going to ask God that He would lead us ably through His Son Jesus, who laid down His life for you and for me, listening carefully for His voice in our lives, but knowing His love in a very real way and a life-changing way this year. So come and take the bread and take the juice. Maybe let's hold our cups and we can drink together this morning.